Hello, 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 Power Kids, and welcome to another Power Kid podcast. Guys, every episode, it is my honor, privilege, and joy to come here and bring you these conversations with great people all over the world making great things for kids. I am super excited about our show today. I've got Jamie Beaumont on the line. Let me introduce you to him. In a career that has spanned from financial services to furniture to Lego ventures, Jamie Beaumont is now the chief operating officer at Soapbox Labs. Soapbox is on a mission to deliver the highest performing speech recognition software specifically designed for use by children. Their proprietary technology is being licensed to K-12 education and ed tech companies, toy entertainment, consumer, and kid tech companies all over the world. This fantastic team is just getting started. It is a complex endeavor, but Jamie, I'm so glad you've joined us today.
And I'm really excited to be here. I think these are really important, impactful topics we're talking about. So looking forward to getting stuck in.
100%. And we're going to broaden the conversation to reading and education, and then we're going to narrow it down to toys and entertainment and all the fun that you can have with this technology. But first, we're going to start where we always start. How did you come to be involved in the children's entertainment and toy industry?
So for me, it's been somewhat of a journey over my career. I spent a long time being fairly kind of agnostic in terms of the verticals and the sectors that I worked in, but really getting stuck into kind of financial strategy, getting stuck into more broader business strategies as well. And then I kind of wound up in a startup called Kano Computing about 6 or 7 years ago, which was my first experience of being in the world of startups, a world which I loved, just so dynamic being in those environments, but also getting into businesses that had real kind of purpose to them, you know, very strong vision, mission-led businesses. And that led me to spend, you know, 2.5 years at Kano building computer kits that teach kids coding. From there, went to Lego Ventures, sat on the other side of the table, actually, you know, writing checks and giving some amazing entrepreneurs some funding and support to take their ideas to market. And during my time there, really got more and more immersed in the market around kids and the innovation that's happening around kids and kid tech.
Yeah. What is it about kid tech and just innovation in the kid space that draws you to it? It seems to me like you are looking for those opportunities to benefit the lives of kids and to provide technologies that help them. What is it about that behind the scenes that really draws you to kid technologies?
I think first, it's a couple of different things. Like one, there's something about kids and knowing how to have fun. And there's something about building products for kids, which therefore has some inherent joy to it because you're creating these experiences that are designed to be motivating and creative. And that's just a nice thing to be working with on a day-to-day basis. And then I think the other aspect to it is, you know, it's one thing to enjoy business, to enjoy building strategy, to enjoy executing on that strategy. When you can layer on top of that the concept of having impact, of delivering education, of really kind of giving these experiences to kids that they love, that just adds an extra dimension to that, which makes the whole kind of working environment that much more fun to be part of.
Yeah, massive sense of purpose derived from boosting the next generation of kids growing up in the world. Take us inside Lego Ventures. Lego Ventures, of course, the investment arm of the Lego brand. What types of projects or businesses were you involved in funding? What were you looking for while you were there? Tell us about the inner workings of Lego Ventures.
Sure. So, you know, as you say, the Lego Ventures is the investment arm of the Lego brand. And Lego has such an incredible brand. And when you actually sort of go behind what that brand stands for, it's this idea of learning through play. And I think that resonates to anyone that's ever had a Lego set, played with Lego bricks. That idea of learning through play is something that, you know, resonates and makes sense immediately. But the power of that idea extends so much further beyond purely the articulation of the Lego brick and the Lego system in play. And so what we were trying to do at Lego Ventures was look for businesses in education or in digital play. So those were the two verticals that we focused on primarily, to see where there were entrepreneurs and founders out there who fundamentally understood that idea of learning through play and were delivering that predominantly to kids through those verticals in order to make learning intrinsically more motivating, to make it more fun, to make it more engaging, or to deliver play experiences which by their very nature, you know, had some kind of value around them, which allowed kids to develop skills around, you know, whether it's creativity or critical thinking, or communication skills, you know, where there's some kind of positive benefit to that play experience as well.
Yeah. So when a company approaches Lego Ventures, at what level, at what stage is their presentation? Do they typically already have a business? Do they typically already have a product that's being developed? And then what do you like to see in that presentation?
Yeah. So Lego Ventures has an incubation studio, which takes ideas at a very nascent stage, but the bulk of the activity is actually investing in companies that would be at, say, Series B or beyond. Mm-hmm. So it would be a company that has already got a product, is already in market, and ideally is demonstrating some degree of product market fit and traction, and is on their road to scaling. And for us, you know, I think it's a bit of a cliche, but when you're investing in startups, one of the things you're always looking at is the founder and the founding team. Is that a team that is investable? Is that a team that has the experience and the resilience required to go on what is undoubtedly a very tough journey? Then if for us, it was about looking at the nature of the product itself, product market fit, and some of the metrics around that, and then trying to triangulate that and balance making financially sound investments with investments that resonate with the long-term Lego strategy around building out this idea of learning through play beyond the Lego brick.
Yeah, very, very good. And then one other experience that I want to touch on with you, and that is Mindstone. And I think this is going to lead us into more of a conversation about reading. But Mindstone was a technology that produced a better way to process and organize reading and articles. There's so much data. There's so much information coming at all of us day in and day out. And it created a better way to process through all of that data, all of those articles, all that reading material. Tell us about Mindstone. And then let's start talking about Soapbox, maybe how Mindstone and Soapbox, some of these similarities in those companies.
Mindstone is a business that has a very strong founding team, one of which is the CEO, Josh Voller, who was the ex-CPO and CTO at Super Awesome. So a very experienced founder, understands the education space deeply. And, you know, I think one of the problems that Mindstone saw is there is just, well, an infinite amount of resource and information available on the internet. Right.
Yes.
In terms of our learning today, there is no limitation in terms of access to information. What is difficult is being able to filter through that information and finding a way to be able to digest the information in a way that works for you. And so I first started using Mindstone because, and if you're anything like me, at any point in time, I would have about 50 different tabs open in my internet browser. And it would be full of stuff that I intended to read and never got around to. And Mindstone gave me a way to essentially collate and organize and curate my own corner of the internet and make it possible for me to find all of those videos, all of those articles all in one place, make it searchable, allow me to essentially have my own library of content around the topics that interest me. It's then gone on to extend that concept and say, well, actually what we're going to allow people to do with that is to not just collate all of this information, but we're going to allow people to create and edit courses from content that is available already online. So you can have an expert who can pull together a course using a simple set of tools in minutes that can then teach people on any topic from cryptocurrency to wine tasting to the basics of finance, in a course that may be anything between an hour or 5 hours or 10 hours in length, and to do it in a way that is multimodal and to build a community around that, making the learning experience more tailored to the individual, and therefore making it more intrinsically motivating. So that's the kind of crux of the idea with Mindstone. It's making the internet a resource from which people can learn significantly more effectively.
Yeah. All of those resources, just overwhelming, making it easier to read, to watch, to learn, to create. Wouldn't it be great if we could use voice to do that? Wouldn't it be great if children could use their voices to access that information to learn? And that really takes us into what Soapbox is up to today. Children's voices being used to learn to read, to activate robots, to play games. I say it like that and it sounds simple, right? We have the Alexa. We can do that with the adult voice. But children's voices are very different. Missing words, mispronunciation, missing teeth. I've got a 7-year-old who's missing his two front teeth. And that changes the way that words are said. So I want you to talk about Soapbox and the intent of Soapbox. And then let's go into the challenges of accurately recognizing a child's voice and then having a technology that responds to that.
Yeah. So look, at the very highest level, Soapbox's vision is to create magical, joyful experiences for children using technology. Children love technology. Children adopt it actually far faster than adults do. But at the moment, there is a lot of friction in those experiences for kids because most of them have been designed for adults. So that's where Soapbox comes in, to build tools that deliver these engaging, fun, frictionless digital experiences for kids. In terms of kids' voices, fundamentally, there are a number of reasons why kids, and when I talk about kids, we at Soapbox build voice technology for kids between 2 and 12, right? So, you know, even as young as 2 years old, you can start to use our voice tech, and you can imagine the quality of enunciation and speech that an average 2-year-old has. Certainly by the age of 4, our speech engines are incredibly accurate. But the challenges in doing speech tech for kids are such that it's adult voice engines don't get there, and they aren't built to be able to get there in any time frame that would bring these experiences to kids in the near future. And those differences start with the physical aspect of a child's voice. So kids have thinner, shorter vocal tracts. That means like the physical output from a child's voice to say the same word is very different from an adult's. Beyond that, the context and the domain is very different. So if you think about, you know, the first thing that needs to be done is you need to start to be able to recognize the voice from the environment that it's in. Kids will be in noisy environments, whereas adults will be in much quieter environments. And then the context, again, is key. So if you think about when you're searching for a program on your cable TV, you know, there's a list of answers that you could give, and that context helps the speech engine know what you're asking for. It's the difference between handmade being MADE and MAID if you're looking for The Handmaid's Tale, right? Kids' contexts are very different, and the way they use speech, the rules under which they use speech, adults have low variability in their language behavior, kids have high variability. And that means you have to reimagine the way that speech is built on a number of different levels from the ground up for kids. You cannot take an adult voice model and extend it across.
Yeah, one of your founders, Patricia Scanlon, gives a great TED Talk on this. And she talks about that moment when a child is learning to read and then transitions to reading to learn. So before we get to the fun aspects of the technology, I want to talk about the importance of the educational aspects of the technology. Over 617 million children are not reaching minimum reading and math proficiency in the world. This is troubling. One of the things that Soapbox is trying to do on the educational front is to provide this technology that can engage a child in the learning process and really be a reading coach to that child, sometimes in the absence of a teacher. And let's talk about the educational impact that Soapbox is already having and some of the details around what you're doing in education.
Sure. Yeah, I think, you know, as you say there, the literacy skills, the ability to read is, for want of a better phrase, the gateway drug to other kinds of learning.
Right, right.
It's what enables you to pick up a book and learn around something that you really want to learn, something you have a passion for, to be able to broaden your own horizons. And there are, and I would encourage anyone just to do a simple Google search on this, there are an incredible array of statistics on the link between literacy skills at a young age and life outcomes. It's remarkable the impact it has on lifetime earnings, on life expectancy. You know, all of these things are to some extent determined by your literacy skill at the age of 8. And therefore, this is an unbelievably important problem to be working on. How do we help kids with their reading? And I think one of the things in order to do that, one of the things that has never been available before, just because we haven't been able to collect the speech from young kids, has been building a data set that allows us to really look in detail at how kids are learning to read and how kids are learning language, that enables us then to tailor interventions at an individual level, but also to think about on a broader scale, what are the differences that we can make to the way we teach kids that will help them learn better and faster when it comes to language and literacy. And so at a very fundamental level, what speech recognition for kids does is allow that data set to be built. Soapbox specifically, we build the technology. We make that technology available to those who are providing content to kids and content to educators. We help integrate that technology into product. And some of those products will be purely designed to help build data sets through assessment of kids' speech and to do that more accurately than a human can do it. And some of those products will be designed to allow for intervention and to allow for perhaps asynchronous learning where a child can go through practice and iteration on their own. And so I think that's a really important distinction. We don't actually design and build the end product for the consumer.
So, Jamie, thinking about data sets and all of the information that's required to even construct a technology that recognizes adult speech patterns, when you're talking about kids, and I want to reemphasize this, you are now including things like mispronunciations, missing words, made up words. That would seem to me to expand the data set just massively. And I'm wondering how long and the process that Soapbox went through to capture all of that information and to really understand how a child speaks and then to create a technology, a software that can interact with a child in that way.
Yeah, sure. And it's not an easy challenge, as your question kind of alludes to. Soapbox was founded in 2013. So it's been around now for the better part of 8 years. And over that time, there's been a team of very talented people, including Trish Scanlon and others, who are not just experts in AI and neural networks, but are experts in linguistics and have taken time and energy to really understand the challenges of the way that kids speak. When you have a laser focus on kids, I think you know, a lot of those mispronunciations, a lot of the way that kids speak, it does increase the variability that you have to be able to deal with. But at the same time, because of the laser focus you have, it's also able to reduce some of the other areas of variability that you may have with adults. And as a result of that, you know, overall, it balances out to make that a manageable challenge. So for example, whilst kids have a much higher level of variability with speech, they have a much smaller vocabulary than your average adult. And when you think about some of the errors in enunciation that happens, actually, you know, there's a finite number of ways that kids can mispronounce certain sounds and word strings together. And so that's where actually when you really understand the linguistics, it's possible to build models that are able to accommodate all of that.
It's very interesting. You talk about the limited vocabulary balancing the amount of information that you would need to create the software. Very, very interesting. So let's talk about the fun things that can be done with the technology. Outside of educational use, of course, there are a number of things that Soapbox has done to create games and toys and some really, really interesting things coming out of there. Custom wake worlds is one, voice activity detection in that technology and what you're doing with that. So unpack that for our toy industry audience here. What are some of the ways that kids can have fun with Soapbox Labs technology?
Sure. So, and this is where a lot of this stuff gets really exciting and you know, always brings a smile to my face when I kind of think about if I could do that when I was a kid. You know, some of the things that you see kids do a lot is get out their toys and engage in role play games with their toys, right? Creating these worlds and universes that are a mix up of all different things as their imaginations run riot. And, you know, wouldn't it be incredible if when kids were playing with these toys and these characters in these worlds, that these toys and characters could interact and speak back. And therefore it becomes a conversational experience, a live dynamic experience for the child. Imagine a child that is able to interact with their favorite IP and have a conversation with their favorite superhero toy. Where that toy knows who they are and is able to talk back to them. Imagine being able to watch a television program and being able to watch that program and direct the story, not by pressing buttons on a remote control, but by actually having a verbal interaction with your TV and with the characters that are involved in that story. Imagine having a gaming environment where And let's talk about kids, as particularly in the younger ages. Like, accessibility is a real issue, right? Accessibility for kids who probably speak better than they spell and certainly speak better than they type, are able to get online and are able to interact with digital experiences because they can use voice input to control their interaction with those experiences, making them more fun and more frictionless as they go.
Yeah. I think about the show like Blue's Clues that was innovative in that the characters would break that fourth wall. They would ask the child a question that was watching and then pause and wait for the answer and then give an affirmative. That was innovative at its time. And what you're talking about is the ability for a child to actually answer the question and then steer the content in a really interesting and specific way because the technology has understood the child, which is just massively interesting. Of course, you mentioned Soapbox does not produce any of the products, but they allow partners and manufacturers and brand owners to partner with Soapbox. So how could a potential partner, manufacturer, brand owner partner with Soapbox Labs and develop a product? What does that look like internally? What sort of partnership is needed? Who are you hoping to partner with?
Sure. So for us, in terms of partnership, one of the things that we have the luxury of seeing where we sit is what the industry is doing and how the industry is thinking about voice tech. So we are at that sort of crystal ball gazing center of being able to see how different creators are conceptualizing the use of kids' speech in products. And so first and foremost, we can act as a sort of strategic sounding board for partners. This is, you know, we do something called a creative review where we'll come in and look at your portfolio of products or IP or whatever it may be, and start to help you think about where speech could be integrated and how it can be used to really create magical experiences. And most importantly, kind of drive deeper engagement with kids in experiences that they will love. Beyond that, like, we then provide further support around designing the UX of these experiences. So helping to guide and utilize best practice in incorporating speech into the product and the way that the user is going to come across that interface and be able to play with it. And then we also provide the technical expertise to help you integrate that into your product. So understanding and having the resource to be able to do the technical integration is sometimes a challenge for some of our partners. We can support that as well. So that is how we go out and sort of take a very, very much a partnership approach with the companies that we work with.
Very good. And of course, anytime we talk about technology and children's products, we want to mention concerns about privacy. This is one of the early things that comes up anytime a new child's technology arises, is invented. And so what are some of the things that Soapbox has done to ensure the child's privacy as they interact with the software?
So first and foremost on this, I think the privacy challenge becomes a lot simpler when you know that all of your users are under the age of 12. And therefore, there is only one way that you approach your users and your customer base in terms of privacy, and that is to be fully compliant in all respects, and you design it that way from the bottom up. And that's something that we are able to do because of the way that we operate. It also means, because of what we do, we only use the data that we collect to improve the performance of our speech models, to improve the performance that drives the way that kids are going to interact. We don't provide any of that data to third parties. We never sell it on. It's never used for advertising. You know, we can make that cast iron guarantee in the way that we use the data. And then from there, we always make sure that whether it's direct or through our partners or however it is that we go about collecting that data, obviously it contains all of the required permissions in a very transparent way. And so for us, that's the way that we approach the privacy issue.
Yeah, very, very good. And on your website, there is a beginner's guide download that can help designers and inventors to think about how perhaps to use this technology in their next creation and their next invention. And so, Jamie, thank you for coming on today and talking about this with us. It's a fascinating look into the future of play and education and what could be and what we're right on the verge of. How do you want companies to reach out to you if they want to find out more? How should they reach out? I love the idea of the creative review, that you could take some of a company's existing products or concepts internally and help them to think through how to use this new voice recognition software. How do you want them to reach out?
So just go to our website, soapboxlabs.com, click on request access and drop us your details. And we would be very happy to talk to anyone who is, you know, building and innovating and creating and has an interest in using speech for kids.
Fantastic, Jamie. Such an important software and topic. Thank you for coming on today. And I hope my listeners will reach out and find out more. Thanks for coming on.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Power Kid podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Leave 5 stars and a written review, as this helps us connect with more listeners just like you. Once you're subscribed, you'll be able to check out the other shows from Adventure Media and Events. And a big thank you to them. They are the publishers of the Toy Book, the Toy Insider, and the Pop Insider. We've got you covered on all toy industry news and events. This show is produced by Power Kid Design and Development. We are a full-service toy and game development studio serving the industry for more than 20 years. We provide illustration, branding, packaging, sculpting, prototyping, consulting, and much more. check out powerkiddesign.com or email me at phil@powerkiddesign.com. Now go out and make something great. And remember, you are creative because you were created. God bless, and I'll see you next episode.